So there's one Lama in Nepal, and then he happened to be in some European countries. So I heard from one of my Tibetan friends saying that there's one Lama from Nepal who is in Europe, and this Lama was giving giving Kalacha initiation. But in actuality, while he was in Nepal, I haven't even heard of him giving a very simple initiation as the long life initiation. So do you think that this is the kind of the Dalai Lama's jealousy? And now, the characteristics of the disciple. So, as said in the 400 by Aridiva, one who is impartial, intelligent, and endowers, thus is explained a vessel for teachings. Otherwise, qualities of the teacher have no effect in the listener. There will be no change. So if you look carefully, we see that whether during explaining the qualities of the teachers and as well as the qualities of the disciple, we see tremendous emphasis in the requirement of the wisdom. So it is because that the Bodhidharma, the very basis for bringing about this transformation, is very much dependent on the wisdom which understands the suchness, which understands the subtle concept of selflessness. So as such, this is very important to have this wisdom. Whether on the part of the teacher or on the part of the disciple. So in the nomadic areas in Kham Tibet, so the people, they regard the supremacy of the teacher. People, they take that based on whether or not that teacher has enormous amount of cattle or horses. So those highly qualified teacher, not having any kind of material things, simply taking his own loads or things, so people don't consider him as sacred or a highly realized Lama. So Zapadu Rinpoche, a Nyingma Lama, so once he was there, so during while he was alive, so when a lot of disciples, or when a lot of people were coming to see him, then he became kind of agitated. And then he started escaping to some other place without any servant or attendant. And then he happened to pass by a kind of household. And there was one lady who was the owner of that house. And then she, not knowing who this stranger was, so she then asked, kept him, this great master, as her servant. And this master, Zabadu Rinpoche, one day he was asked to take that that container or containing the urine of the lady, and asked the master to get this off, to take this off. And he did that. While he went out to pour that out, so those disciples of the Zabadu Rinpoche, they happened to be there, then asked the lady as to whether or not she saw the master. And she said that, oh, I didn't saw any of such great master, but there is one man who is my servant, and right now he has actually been out, been to take my urine out. And then the disciples, they realized, oh, that person must be my teacher. And they said, oh, indeed, he's my teacher. And the lady felt so ashamed and ran away. So, likewise, in the case of the Chinese, they may be kind of things that happened that the person pretends to be a high lama sitting on a very high throne and so forth, and the disciples thinking that, oh, this man must be a great lama, and then offering donations put in the red envelopes. So one of the teachers of His Holiness, Khunu Lama Rinpoche, he has been constantly telling His Holiness that actually these great masters like Zabadu Rinpoche, they are indeed highly realized and well-qualified teacher. Although they didn't assume themselves to be, or pretending, or just in a very evident or obvious way, assuming to be having these qualities. So next topic, the way he relies, or the disciples rely on the teacher. So this teacher in Sanskrit, it is called guru, or in Tibetan it is called unsurpassable. So we see that both these two words, guru, or in the Tibetan word lama, so both doesn't possess a connotation of a Buddha. So I'm just wondering, the Chinese translation of this word guru, so I'm not too sure of whether in terms of the correctness of this translation, because the Chinese translation has a connotation of some kind of the Buddha in it, and whereas both in the version, the word guru in Sanskrit and lama in Tibetan, neither of these two possess having any kind of connotation in relation to Buddha. So in Tibetan, when it says lama, it simply means the unsurpassable one, unsurpassable in terms of kindness, unsurpassable in terms of knowledge. The topic, the way the disciple relies on a teacher. So it has further two divisions, that the manner of relying in thought, the manner of relying through action. So the first one, the manner of relying on thought. So here, so mentally, the student should be well prepared in terms of seeking the advice of the teacher. So if you do that, then the student would become a well-qualified or a genuine student. If he's not mentally prepared, then how can he possibly become a genuine student? If the student become a genuine student of that particular teacher, so the possibility of acquiring all the qualities of that are present in the teacher in terms of a realization and in terms of the intellectual learnings, both to the students. So actually, because of that, you have the benefit of receiving all these qualities of the teacher upon yourself. And also, the reason why this learning teaching emphasizes so much on the guru devotion is because this Lama teaching is primarily to teach a practitioner from the beginner level to the ultimate state of the enlightenment, including the part of Tantra. So it is because of this, And this teaching of Lamrim is not meant for someone who is primarily focused on the small scope teachings, nor for those following the middle scope teachings, but rather for someone who is actually eventually embracing the Mahayana teachings, including the tantric teachings. So the teacher, no doubt, should be highly realized in terms of realizations. So, strictly speaking, from Tantra, on the part of the disciples, he or she must have unshakable faith in the teacher. So, because in order to awaken, in order to stimulate the subtler states of the mind, it really should be done through the key of the faith. It is because of that in Tantra, there is so much of emphasis on faith in one's teacher. So it is because of the it is because this teaching on Lamrim is primarily to lead a specific disciple to the ultimate path of Tantra. It is because of this that the kind of the guru devotion taught here is very much in correlation, is in very much in conformity to the kind of guru devotion taught in the tantric literature. And secondly, in terms of the highest yoga tantra, a well-qualified teacher must be someone who can confer the all kinds of four different initiations through his own experience. So the third the fourth initiation, that is the initiation of the union, the non-duality, the union. So that can be conferred to disciple only by way of one's someone who can really confer that initiation. For the initiation of union can be conferred through experience. If someone can really do that, it should be only the Buddha. As such, from the point of view of the highest yoga tantra, someone who can who is your teacher in terms of conferring you the fourth initiation directly through his own experience, he must be a Buddha. As such, it is emphatically stated that the guru should be devoted as a real Buddha. So the teacher who can really, through his own experience, confer the fourth initiation, that is the initiation of union. So he must be someone who is a Buddha. So actually, as such, the disciple, when you have generate faith in him, or devote him as a Buddha, actually, you are actually treating actual Buddha as a Buddha. And whereas there are instances of some of the teachers who are not in actuality Buddhas, but the thing is that if the from the student side, if they treat the teacher as an actual Buddha, then actually the student is better receiving all the benefits. So as for me, though I'm not a Buddha, if someone while training in the guru devotion, if you treat me or consider me as a Buddha, so the only thing happening is benefit to on you.